This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Spoiler alert! What Did You Watch This Week is a candid discussion about recent movies and TV shows, and it may contain spoilers if you haven't watched them yet. Listen at your own risk.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 85 of What Did You Watch This Week? My name is Mike.
And we are three quarters of the way to 100. My name is John.
85 is not three quarters of the way to 100. That's 75.
Six-fifths, then, okay?
That's more than 100. That's exceeding.
You don't know your fractions.
Six-fifths?
95%.
We are 85%. Because one episode is 1% of 100.
Agree to disagree.
This is not an opinion. This is facts. This is not like someone going, dinosaurs never existed. No, there's scientific proof that existed.
That's fake news.
Moving on. We're going to be covering shows that aired from November 5th to November 11th or before.
Right. I think for myself, I'm just about finally caught up with all the crap that, you know, was missed out or fell behind or whatever. So.
Yeah, and I felt the need because of all the electrical issues we were having and then whatnot like that. We need to say, hey, these are the shows we're looking at. Because I sat down last night and I went, all right, we're going to cover this week. What haven't I watched? And there was literally – well, I say there's three episodes of TV, but there's more than that because I haven't watched Inhumans. I haven't watched Gotham. I'm not sure if I'm gonna.
I actually saw an article the other day that was titled "Everything That Happened on Inhumans" in case you were smart enough to not have watched after the first episode.
Oh, nice! I gotta find that article.
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm gonna catch up on Gotham. I'm already three episodes behind, and I feel like that's already insurmountable.
Dude, one episode is insurmountable.
Says the guy that's excited for this Friday to hopefully watch 13 episodes of Punisher as fast as he can.
Dude, that's the thing. Like, regular TV needs to go on hiatus or something because this week Future Man came out on Hulu and I really want to check that out. I still haven't seen episode one of season two of Stranger Things, and there's people that are out there reviewing everything. And now Punisher's coming out.
Yep.
It's rough. It is being a TV fan and working all these hours and shit.
Yeah, and then not having power for a week so that you have to try to play catch-up.
Yep.
Here we are. Yeah. This is where we're at. I'm going to be super structured this week. Sorry, I just want to make sure I'm covering everything and not forgetting things.
Okay.
So I'm actually going to start with Monday and go right down through because I don't watch anything on Sunday. If you want to chat up Simpsons, Family Guy, whatever, go right ahead. You haven't these last few weeks, so.
No, those are just shows that I kind of like, I put on for a laugh or a yuck or something, and there's nothing, like, I remember Family Guy just did something this past week or two that I was like, oh, that's kind of cool, but I don't know, for the life of me, I can't remember exactly what it was. Oh, there was the one, I think I talked about it briefly, where they did the same story of Peter getting fired from the brewery done by three different directors.
Yes.
That was kind of cool. But other than that, you know, they're just fun to watch. And Walking Dead I'm way behind on, and that's just fine.
Who cares? I watched I did make a point to go back the other day and watch the Simpsons Treehouse of Horror this year.
Yep.
Not as good as they used to be.
No, they really aren't.
So, anyhow.
Although most would argue that the Simpsons aren't as good as they used to be, period.
Fair enough. My son seems to love it. For those wondering, I'm still suffering from a cold, so if you hear prolonged me not saying anything, I'm probably having a coughing fit or clearing my throat or something.
Maybe I'll go in through the backside and dub in that song, you know, Let Me Clear My Throat, the one that you don't know.
I think I've heard that song. Probably not. So anyways, Monday night, The Gifted. You hadn't watched episode 5 last week.
I'm now caught up, so I've watched episode 5 and 6.
All right. So episode 6, you notice every title has got an X in it.
Yes, and then you try to capitalize it. Yep.
Yeah, so this week it's Got Your 6.
Yep.
Which, yeah, what'd you think of episode 5?
I'll just lump them together because I watched them back to back, so it's hard to separate them out.
Go right ahead then.
I thought that the show is still good. It's starting to become a little bit what I expected. You know, there's the strife between the people, the whole drama of you got into her head and now you've been into my head and you put memories in there of somebody that I don't have and now I've got to live with that. And she's like, I could take it away. Oh, I don't want you to. Well, why not? You're complaining about this. It'd be like somebody saying, I have a tumor and it sucks. And they're like, well, I can remove it. No, I just want to live with it. Why? You don't want it. So there's that. And then there's the whole, you know, the kids rebelling against their parents a little bit because, you know, I'm tough enough. I can do this. And no, you're still my boy and I want you to be safe. And his power is literally to rip things apart. So it's still a good show. I'm still enjoying it way more than most of the other superhero shows out there. But
yep,
it is starting to dip a little bit, dip its toe into that end of the pool that's like, oh, here's the formulas that we're so used to.
So when Turner got his memory erased, I thought they're going to erase the memory of his child completely, which means the reason that he has to – the reason the way he is hunting them the way he is because his kid was killed on that event on July 15th.
Right.
Which they've kind of touched on. And that's his motivational and driving force.
Yep.
Is what happened to his kid. And now he has no memory of that happening. I thought they were going to erase the memory of his kid completely. But instead, they've erased the memory of his daughter dying that day.
Right.
To the that mean. Would suck.
Yeah, so he thought she was still alive. And
that is some horrible grief to have to relive, even if you don't remember, you know, living it the first time. But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're essentially making him really – because he walks home and he's like, hey, I'm going to go read her a bedtime story. And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm going to go read her a bedtime story. You know, I'm sure she's waiting for me. Dude, she's been dead for 4 years.
Yeah. I mean, that just sort of sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, no, I thought – I'm right there with you as far as the show. Like, they're kind of getting into some pissy contest semantics that I don't care about.
The daughter suddenly meeting the one boy there that's her age that's also a mutant and that's remarkably charming and good-looking. And
right.
Because, of course, you have to have romance.
Well, you have to have that sexual tension.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, mutant hormones, they rage more than normal hormones.
That's right.
But I feel like the show has been good enough they can get back on track in the coming weeks.
Yes.
Just have to wait and see. And incidentally, I feel like a lot of shows are going to start taking a hiatus soon here for that December hiatus for some reason. Well, I don't know. They did last year.
I know that S.H.I.E.L.D. is coming back the first or second week of December to fill the unquenchable thirst that we have after Inhumans dried us out.
Definitely dried us out.
What did you think on The Gifted of the whole Polaris wants to train these kids to fight because, you know, they're basically going to be fighting the rest of their lives. And mom's like, no, she's my daughter. She's not training.
Yeah, I think mom's holding back. I think mom needs to realize that Polaris is right. These kids do need to learn how to fight and defend themselves and take care of themselves.
Yeah, not necessarily to become assassins.
They literally have giant targets on their back just because of who they are.
Yep. And she's not training them to be assassins or to like go out there and kill people. She's training them to control their powers so that they can save lives, which her kids have done multiple times.
And defend themselves.
Yep.
And know when to fight and know when to walk away and know when to hold them. Oh, sorry, wrong. That's
I was going to say know when to run.
Yeah.
Do you ever count your money when you're sitting at the table?
Oh, God, no. First of all, that's a jinx and it's just poor etiquette.
That's right.
So, I mean, and they'll be tiny enough to count it when the deal is done. So
that's true. Yep.
I think mom's wrong on that aspect.
Me too. I also kind of raised an eyebrow when they, out of the blue, were mentioning the fact that these two kids, the Strucker kids, are more powerful than the rest of these mutants. I disagree. I mean, they seem to have some cool powers.
But
like Blink rips holes in the fabric of space and time and teleports people across.
That seems to be more powerful than putting up shields.
Yeah. Or say, Warpath there, who is bulletproof and has super senses and super strong. That's pretty badass.
Extremely. So, but I still enjoy the show.
Me too. Absolutely.
I still enjoy it. Supergirl, episode 5, Damage. Okay. This is my weak sauce man thing I have to bring up.
Okay.
They're saying that Lena's lead bomb is infecting children only? Like, no one picks up on the fact that only kids are getting sick and no adults, and if it really was Lena's lead bomb that caused that, people would be getting sick across the board of ages, not just children. Like,
yep.
No one's smart enough to realize that.
Right, exactly. Instead, they just go, oh, what about the children?
And Jimmy Olsen being a, I'm taking my toys back, whiny bitch, all episode long.
I know. Didn't we last season have him as Guardian running out there with a shield and armor and defending the city and being like, I'm going to be badass. And now he's like,
no,
it's my newspaper.
Yeah, and he hasn't been Guardian once this season that I can remember.
Nope, he has not.
Yeah, exactly, which I'm not complaining about, incidentally.
No,
I thought it was stupid that Jimmy Olsen was Guardian.
Yep.
But anyways, yeah, he's just a whiny. But I'm running the paper. You need to give it back now because there's bad things about you. Like, you know, like that whole – yeah, it was stupid. It was stupid. And then, of course, you know, in the end, Morgan's the bad guy that we all know he is.
Of course.
Because it was weird that they introduce him and then we don't see him basically for an episode.
Yep.
And then now in this episode, they go crazy over explaining how big of a piece of crap he is.
Right.
What he's willing to do.
A couple of things that I really liked in this episode. I really liked when she met up with him and he was like, you left me on a tanker in the middle of the ocean. That literally took up like a couple hours of my time and a few bucks to get out of that. Like, that makes sense. He's basically talking about how like, you're a hero, you'll never kill me, which is what you should do because I won't be stopped. I mean, kind of a Joker kind of thing there. But I liked how he basically just called her out on that. He's like, yeah, that literally was a minor inconvenience. I liked when they talked about the cobra effect in India, how, you know, they put the bounty out on people, on cobras to get people to kill them. And then they found that people were breeding cobras just to get the bounties.
Get the bounty. It
makes perfect sense.
It does.
And I will also say that there's a lot, you and I have talked a lot in the past about how Supergirl does a lot of things right compared to other shows, not just other superhero shows, but compared to other shows. I loved the breakup in this episode.
Yes.
It felt so realistic. Like, the fact that they had been talking about it for days. We didn't get to see them just do the typical TV, like, I want to do this. And they didn't change their minds. Like, she's like, I still want to be a mother. And she's like, I don't. And they actually broke up. You know, I'm going to go stay with this person for a while. I'll be okay. You're going to make a great mom someday. Like, it was heartfelt. It was tragic. And they stuck to their guns. They didn't have that miraculous, I'll be a mom for you because I want to be. Nope. They said, we're two individual people and this is what we want.
I mean, they could always revisit it. Alex could, sorry, not Matt, Alex, Maggie.
Yep.
Maggie could, like, you know, after some much deliberation, come back and be like, you know, I've thought about it. And I thought, you know, maybe I do want to have a kid. They could go that route. Yep,
they could.
But the fact that they didn't just have – you know what I mean? Like, if they do go that route, they're giving her time to think about it.
Yes.
It's not – it's, you know, like realistic time to think about it. Like, because in my point of view, if someone's going to make a decision like that, like –
It's going to take time, life,
and it's going to take more than just like, you know what, I love you so much, I can we'll do this. No, it's going to take a lot of time. So no, I agree. I also love that he'll break up even with them. You know, it's a dancing to the Cyndi Lauper song.
Yep,
but
and then
still,
having
like,
some angry sex, basically.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Still breaking up. You know, because that's kind of realistic. I've had a few breakups and. there's that point where you're like, yeah, you want to go around one more time just for old time's sake? The feelings are just there. And after all those emotions of anger and frustration and stuff, you just like, you need a release. And so then they were like, yeah, it's still not going to work. Excellent.
It's like that episode of Scrubs where JD breaks up with Mandy Moore's character and all his friends give him crap for his relationships. But in this time, they're like, no, this one's okay.
Yep.
You had valid reasons for breaking up with each other.
Right.
You know, you both wanted completely different things in life. And then, of course, we find out that Sam, not only is she the villain of the episode, we're slowly learning about her powers. She's apparently bulletproof.
Mm. Yes.
Because during the assassination attempt, she got shot.
Yep.
And didn't realize it till later when her daughter was like, oh, there's a hole in your shirt.
Yep. And it was just so casual. Like, oh, there's a hole in your shirt. She's like, oh, well. And walked away and then
goes. Well, she just wanted to alert her daughter.
Yep. And then a bullet falls out of her jacket.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see what happens there. I enjoyed the episode. I thought it was good.
I did as well. It still continues to be one of the better shows on TV, I think.
Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
I was going to say, did you watch Big Bang on Monday?
You know, I haven't. I'm behind. I really need to watch a few episodes of that.
You don't.
Okay.
You don't really need to watch it. It was – you remember Bert, the big goofy guy who's a comedian and has like a – he has glasses and a big shaggy
beard. He kind of talks like this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
He was back, and he had discovered something in geology, and he wanted Sheldon's help with it so that they could help prove dark matter. And so it was treated like Sheldon was having an affair with him. You know, he was embarrassed to be working with a geologist, so he always hid it and didn't want to tell anybody, and he was sneaking around. And
that actually seems like it would be funny and accurate for him.
It wasn't bad, especially because of the comedian there, and I wish I could remember, Brian Posehn.
Okay.
You know, because he plays that character very well. So,
yes.
It wasn't a bad episode, but yeah, it's Big Bang. It's kind of run its course.
Yep. I've not watched Young Sheldon either. I'm two episodes behind on that one.
This was good because this one, and I'm not going to go too deep into it, but this one we kind of get a hint as to what's going on with his dad, and we get to meet his Meemaw. Remember how we always talked about Meemaw and
yes.
Moon Pie? Yeah, Annie Potts plays his Meemaw.
Oh, okay, cool.
And she does a good job.
So. Nice.
Yep.
And I just want to cover this. I haven't caught up on Stand Against Evil.
Okay.
For whatever reason, my IFC app and my Roku's not working. It keeps, like, I hit play, it says it's playing, and then it kicks me back to the main screen. I've tried uninstalling and reinstalling the app. I'm going to try on my tablet, I guess. That's my next step.
Okay.
So, because I think I'm 4 episodes behind. Like, they've done 2 weeks, 4 episodes, correct?
Correct. And this week they'll be doing another 2 episodes, so you'll be up to 6.
Okay. All right. You're the worst for some reason. Okay. I don't know what this is, but I can watch American Horror Story, but when I try to watch You're the Worst, it's kicking me out.
Weird.
Yeah, that one's very peculiar.
That is so, very peculiar, because they're all the same network through the same app.
Yeah, exactly. Is this week here we're in, is this the final episodes of the season?
Yeah, it'll be the last 2 put together.
And that's what day? I can't remember what day is that on.
Wednesday,
that
I believe. Wednesday?
Okay, so tonight.
Yep.
Today is Wednesday.
It is Wednesday, jeez.
Yeah, okay, so tonight. All right, so hopefully by next week I can get that squared away so we can chat up You're the Worst next week.
Excellent.
This is us. I'm all caught up, are you?
I am.
So the caught-up point for us would be Episode 7, The Most Disappointed Man, or Most Disappointed Men.
There was one before that. Did we talk about the Halloween episode?
Okay, yeah. All right. I didn't know if we chatted that one up or not. Okay, so the Halloween I'm gonna lump them together.
Okay. I think that's a good idea.
Because I don't think I need to break down. I still love the show, and I hate that they're making Kevin an addict.
Yeah, and kind of a crumbling addict, too.
Yeah, like, and to the point where, like, he even, you know, it's messing up his everything. And in the flashback scenes in either 7 or 6, where his best friend Buddy is got a role, and he basically tries to steal the role.
dude, from him. Dick move, and I'm glad that the director called him out on that.
Yes, I did too. And he's like, "Wow, I never thought you were that guy. What guy? The guy that tries to steal his friend's role. You will never ever work for me."
Yep.
Yeah.
Not even holding a tray.
Yeah, they're making Kevin unlikable.
They really are. Like, he always had that potential because, yeah, he is the pretty boy who you feel like has everything going for him.
Who's completely insecure about himself. And mm-hmm. Yeah. But they always kind of made him like – they're making him completely unlikable.
Yep.
Like, in these episodes, you know, like his drug habit is overtaking his ability to do anything. He's becoming petty and jealous. He's completely sabotaged and ruins his relationship with Sophie because he finds out that Kate's pregnant, and then he thinks about how, oh, what if he had a kid? Oh, wait, no, I'd be a piece of shit dad. I'd be a horrible dad, and I'm still a drug addict, and I wouldn't have time. And he just kind of goes off the deep end and breaks up with her about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he freaks out, and he's like, oh, I'm going to buy 3 different rings and let her pick the one that she wants. And then he goes over to her house, and he's like, yeah, I'm terrible. I'm an awful person, and you shouldn't be with me. I'm saving you by breaking up with you.
Yeah. The storyline of how they adopted Randall almost seems foolish that they had a judge who didn't support the fact that it was a white couple adopting a black baby.
Yeah. Delroy Lindo, by the way. I mean,
which I love him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great cameo. But I didn't understand because obviously you knew they were going to adopt him.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, like, why did we have to go through the will they, won't they kind of thing?
Yeah, and but again, I like the fact that she wrote the judge a letter saying, this is my kid no matter what.
Yep.
And you need to accept that.
Yep.
And, of course, she gave him the picture. And, you know, I want to talk to some photographer friends of mine to see if that really is an issue.
Now, remember, this was in the 80s.
So that's true.
It could
that's
have
true.
Been. But, no, I'm not trying to justify for them. I just know that, you know, different time, different technology yeah. kind of thing. Look at video cameras back then. The giant shoulder-mounted things.
No, no, fair enough. But
did seem a little bit extreme the way.
Yeah, I can't get the lighting right because you have that black kid in there with the rest of you white people.
Yeah,
and so the lighting's just not right. I can't get it to even out. Well, of course you can. Just take a picture.
And then they even mentioned it when they wrote the letter to the judge.
Yeah, but the judge recuses himself from the case because he feels like, well, I'm not going to do this, but I'll let someone else do it.
Right.
And then the new lady's like, all right, let's get it done. Signed, sealed, and delivered. And so I don't know. I feel like that was unnecessary.
Yep, I agree. Did you get the impression with the whole Kate in her 20s and that guy who was hitting on her and then he was like, oh, hey, let's go back to your place. Did you get the impression like she thought that he was married? I thought that she was missing the fact that he was embarrassed of her.
I did too. I didn't take the fact that he was married. I think that he was embarrassed of her. That's what I went with.
Yep. And when she said you're married, he was like, "Ooh, easy out. I'll do that."
He's yeah.
Like, married.
Yeah. I almost feel yes. I feel like that is the case.
Yep. Because that kind of fits more with, you know, her low self-esteem and the fact that, you know, she's had to struggle with this for a long time.
Yeah.
He didn't want his friends to see him hanging out with the chubby girl and so. Yep. That was my thought.
I did like the Williams story of him when he's going to court and the judge.
Yeah.
He tells him he's disappointed in him because he has a clean record and then William tells his story and he's like, I'm the most disappointed man. And then the judge, like, he harps on it and then he comes back and he's like, I gave a kid 10 years for stealing a TV. I did this, I did that, and I'm not happy.
It wasn't even a good TV.
It wasn't even a good TV, yeah. And I can't think of that actor's name, but he's another one of those ones where it's like, oh, hey, I know who that
exactly,
is.
Exactly, yeah.
They do that on this show. They're cameos, and they're guest starring actors and actresses and everything. They're pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And anytime they go to the hospital and it's back in the day, I want it to be Gerald McCraney every single time, you know?
Yep. I like that we got that little nod at the very end where both judges were sitting in the chambers there.
Yes.
Like, have you done anything good lately? No, I don't know.
Nah.
What about you? I have no idea.
I have no idea. Yeah. They're just reading the paper.
Yep.
But I like how the judge is like, look at my face. And every time you see this face, you know, every time you think about doing something wrong, you think about this face.
yep.
sitting across from you and everything. And William does it until he finds out he's got terminal cancer. And right. then I really like the scene where he's sitting at the table and he's got the needle and the crack and he's got everything. And then he looks up and he sees the judge sitting there.
Yep.
But then he's going to do it anyways. And then you get the knock on the door and I'm like, all right, that's kind of full circle cool.
Yeah. Yeah. The other side of that scene that we saw when he was up.
Exactly. Yep. What was he doing right before he showed up, you yep. know?
So that was well planned.
And then also in this episode, Randall takes Deja to visit her mother in prison, but she won't come see her. So, of course, Randall's like, oh, she can't. There's a mistake. You know, like yeah. he doesn't say to her. And then I liked it when Kevin's all jacked up and he's going to talk to his wife about it, but she goes off the deep end. He's like, wait a second. I thought I was going to be the angry one. Are we switching roles? Yeah. Oh, we're switching roles.
Yeah.
But then when he goes and talks to her in prison, like, he goes to talk to her mother. And her mother looked like she has been assaulted.
Yep.
She doesn't want her daughter to see her like that.
Next time I'll reschedule getting my ass kicked.
Yeah. And I don't know. I feel like in the end, Randall did the right thing by not – but you know, he said, my parents made this decision for me, and here we are doing the same thing. Like, I don't know. Like, he seemed justified in his actions.
Yeah, because, like, you got the impression – where he was talking to her in prison, he was like, no, you're not getting her. She's like, I'm coming for my daughter afterwards. He's like, no, you're not. You'll have to go through me. And like, yeah, he's standing up to her. And then suddenly he's like, oh, I gave her our number and told her to call Calexa. She could talk to Deja. Okay. Well, that's kind of a 180, but you know, good on you that you're trying to, cause yeah, he was thinking about how his parents boxed out William completely and he never yes. got a chance to know him. And you know, yep. yeah, he had a good life, but at the same time, you know, he missed out on everything else that could have been.
Yep. So, I don't know. We'll see. I was initially not looking forward to the whole Deja storyline when they first introduced it.
Yep.
I thought it was going to be – I just wasn't, but I actually like how they've handled it because they haven't gone super over-the-top teen drama about it, mm-hmm. you know, CW style.
Yep. And – I also want to point out that we saw a big thing in these episodes when Randall was having the first baby and his mother came to visit and she was talking about how, you know, oh, I was told that I have to get on this Facebook thing so that I can see all the baby pictures that you're going to post. Oh, I'm yes. not going to post that many baby pictures. And then she kind of has a breakdown because she's like, this is the happiest moment of my life. And I just realized that your father's not here for it and he'll yep. never be here for another one. So this was before Miguel. This was back yes. when she was still single and
yeah, so Miguel wasn't like we all kind of assumed Miguel was right there straight away, especially the way Kevin treats him.
Right.
Like, oh, you just honed in right after my dad died. No, like Miguel's only been in her life for like 8 years or whatever.
Yeah, however old Randall's oldest daughter is. And they met through Facebook, you know, hey, I'm yeah. down in Houston. How have you been the past couple of years?
Yeah. So I thought that I like that as well.
Yep. That was cool.
And then Kate and Toby were going to have a quickie wedding, but Toby could tell that she really wants to have that big wedding, and so he ex-nayed it and said, you know, all your brothers will stand on each side of you and be overly emotional and give you away. And
yep. I like that he did all that by talking to her dad in the urn.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. Not going to do this. Not going to do this. All right, I guess I'm doing this.
And then he's like, I asked him. She's like, you asked him? He's like, yeah, I don't want to talk about it. It's guy stuff. Okay.
Yeah. Oops, sorry. So anyways, yeah, I don't know, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it a lot. Boy, Tuesday night is apparently a big night for TV.
Yes.
So, Lethal Weapon, episode 5, Let It Ride.
Great episode.
It was. It was a good, they had reruns for a couple weeks, I guess, because of the World Series or yep. whatever reason. But Leo Getz is back in this episode.
I love Leo Getz.
I thought he was great. And then we learn about Riggs's roughest childhood
yes.
with his dad.
Yeah, they're really going for that this season.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I just thought it was a great episode.
Yep. Yeah, it was just – that's one of those shows that you don't even have to go that deep. It's just – it's great, you know? There's some things – some episodes they've had where you learn new big things or, you know, they delve into a character a little bit more. But for the most part, it's just solid TV.
I like Leo's come on, B team, we can do, or like, I don't want to talk to the B team. And then she's like, excuse me? Oh no, he's talking about our last names. He doesn't even know your name. I like that whole bit. And he goes, and then through the whole episode, keeps calling the B team. And she's like, I get, you know, like, is this a thing now?
Right. Yeah. By the end, they're like proud of being the B team.
Yeah. So, excuse me. I apologize. The Flash.
Once again, proving that you should not – TV episodes based around Bachelor and Bachelorette parties are never
They're
fun.
Stupid.
Yeah. Yep. They need to stop this. It's a bad trend.
Yeah. Episode 5, Girls Night Out, we have the Bachelorette party of Felicity joining the show for this episode. Was it Felicity and Iris and, of course, Caitlin, and then Cecile, and then we meet Cecile's daughter, and of course she's a stripper later.
Right, right. They had to introduce her in this episode so that we could later on discover, oh, wait a minute.
She's a stripper.
Yeah.
Because she's doing some book or whatever. Yeah. But the good thing that happened in this episode, all in all, the best part of the episode is the fact that Caitlin reveals she's Killer Frost, talks about how she's able to switch back and forth between the two, and it's literally a split personality type of thing.
Yep.
But she has control over it. Yes. And now the whole team knows.
Yep.
And then they even Killer Frost herself is just like – because I like the part where Killer Frost says to Iris, like, well, I assume you guys are friends, right?
Right.
And she's like, yeah, we're friends. Okay, then, well, obviously she didn't, you know, she didn't want her friends to know this. And even Killer Frost is like, all right, I guess you people are cool. I can deal with you.
Yeah.
So I like that they address this.
Yep.
So that way they can bring her in when they need to. And we don't have that mysterious backstory going on. We can go, all right, let's focus. Because it was like too much. Like we have Caitlin's background that we're dealing with, and that needs to be addressed. And then we have, you know, the thinker. The main villains of the episode, which I think we need to focus on, and then who these new metahumans are. They got made from the dark matter, from him coming from the Speed Force, and on and on and on. Like,
right.
Katie Sackhoff was in this episode.
Katie Sackhoff going with a full-on British accent.
I don't care. I loved it. I'm a big Katie Sackhoff fan.
Oh, so. I am as well. I thought it was great.
So I thought it was great. I'm glad that she wasn't arrested or whatever. She's still out there, so we can bring her back.
Yep. Interesting power she had there. She seemed to focus just on that one type of metal.
Her name was Amunet, and it wasn't just any metal. It was some sort of – what'd they call it again?
I don't remember. I just remember that it is one of the metals.
It was a specific type of metal. Yeah, and so she carried it around in a bucket with her.
Yep.
Which I thought was funny.
Yeah, and she could do some pretty amazing things with it, mostly just turn it into a glove and a shield and fling pieces and then draw them back.
Yeah, but it's not just fling pieces. I mean, they were sharp pieces, so it killed people. Yeah. So,
But then the meta that she had broken out or kidnapped was the Weeper. And he looked like a heroin addict.
He did look like a nasty drug addict, which he probably was. And his eyes – sorry, his tears were a powerful narcotic.
Yep.
So yeah, and apparently –
they'd punch him in the stomach and it would make one tear come out.
Or kick him, and one tear would come out, yeah. That was
what exactly was their plan to like? Was it just tears? What happens when he sweats?
Apparently, it was just tears because he looked all sweaty, gross.
Yeah, and apparently he doesn't pee it out, so it's just his tears.
Yep.
And how are they planning? Like, are they gonna put on old Geller or something? Because you can only punch him and make him cry so many times.
Watch emotional movies, yeah.
Yeah, and it seemed like one tear per person. You know, so if they're planning to corner the market, they're going to have to, like, cut up a bunch of onions in front of this guy.
Yeah, they're going to have to do something to make those water faucets run.
Yeah.
But my favorite part is when they rescued him and he runs away and they're just like, all right, whatever. Like, they just let him run off.
Right.
Like, a good guy. Like, he clearly needs medical attention.
Yep.
They probably need to get him some help. They need to explain, you know, maybe help him with his powers. But I don't know. Fine.
And it wasn't like he disappeared. He literally ran past all of them and they were all just like, okay, we'll let him go.
Yeah. And then, of course, the thinker presents himself at the end, and you're not ready for your role, and apparently his role was to get blasted apart. I don't know. We don't know. We don't know what he did. Last thing we saw was him getting shot with lasers.
Oh, and on the flip side of this, let's note the fact that a couple of things here. One, Sisko can devise something on the fly that will rip a hole between dimensions and allow people to travel interdimensionally, but he miscalculated the potency of the alcohol.
Hey, this is Sisko's first mistake, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can only imagine how horrible that tasted.
Yeah. That would have had to have been more than pure alcohol.
Yeah. But Drunk Berry was kind of fun.
I love chicken wings.
Yeah. I like his, what'd you do? I went and got some peanuts at the bar. No, you just made a noise with your mouth.
Yep.
Yeah. So it's
taken Joe two or three episodes to realize he's almost 50 years old and about to have a child.
Yeah.
He's going to be almost 70 when the kid graduates high school.
That happens, yeah.
Not to mention the fact that I don't know how old Cecile is. I know she's younger than him. But anything over 35 and you start getting into higher and higher risks of birth defects and such.
Yep.
So I'm surprised they hadn't had, like, a breakdown before this or a, you know, moment where they're like, whoa, wait a minute. This may not be a good thing. This may be a holy shit, this could be a very bad thing.
I know. Cecile seems very excited about it all.
Yeah. Even when he was like, I'm terrified. She's like, oh, good. I'm scared, too. She didn't seem that scared.
No. No, she did not. I don't know how old that actress is, but she doesn't look old.
No. But
Joe doesn't look old either.
Right. Her daughter is a stripper, so she's got to be at least, what, 21 or so?
Well, her daughter is she's only doing it to study for this book she's making or some – the book she's making. God, right. You don't make a book. You write a book. I'm good this morning. Writing about the feminine experience, the woman experience. And so part of that is to be a stripper.
And she was here from college. So
yeah.
She was probably writing it about being a stripper because, you know, exploiting men's weakness towards the female body and taking their money. I don't know. But if she's
I wonder
in
if
college,
she has a book where she puts, like, different smiley face codes in it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Someplace very uncomfortable.
I went all the way back to Mallrats.
Yeah,
those who don't get the joke. Watch the movie. It's excellent.
Yes, back before Kevin Smith discovered weed.
Yeah, I was just talking about that with someone else the other day, Brandon there, and we were discussing the fact that we are big fans of Kevin Smith's early work.
Yes.
But essentially, since he started smoking pot all the time, I can't even stand listening to his podcast because, you know, he's smoking pot the whole time and you can tell and it's annoying and...
And it brings things like Tusk.
Yes, which... I wonder when we're going to get the third part of that Northern trilogy there.
No idea.
Moose Jaws. So
I don't even know when we're going to be able to watch Yoga Hosers because I think it had like a limited theatrical release, but I haven't seen it show up anywhere else.
It was on Netflix for a while.
Was it?
It might still be. I remember I watched it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he plays a killer little sausage.
Yeah.
Yeah. But allegedly right now he's working on a new Jay and Silent Bob movie.
Yeah.
Because he was working on a Mallrats sequel. I guess that fell through. And then he was working on a Clerks sequel, and I guess that fell through. So now he's working a Jay and Silent Bob sequel.
And considering him and Muse are bestest buddies, it's likely that won't fall through. So.
Yeah, so we'll see, I guess. We shall see. Yeah. Anyways, I digress. Moving on. Legends of Tomorrow.
Yeah.
Okay, so the episode 5, Return of the Mac. And incidentally, I know all right. So they're in Victorian London. They think there's a vampire, but it's not a vampire. It's just a guy who's got a clever device with two needles. I actually thought that was pretty ingenious.
Yep.
Rip is back, of course, because he can't now trust the agency that he created, the Time Bureau, because they don't believe him. So I like the fact that Rip has created the Time Bureau, but now he seems to have no control over it just 5 episodes in.
Right. Yeah, that's pretty effective, huh?
Because in episode 1, he's basically the Lord Commander of the Time Bureau.
Yep.
And now he's like just another guy, and there's a board and directors, and he's just another guy. You know, he doesn't even have final say about anything.
Right.
In fact, they can arrest him.
I was going to say, he gets arrested.
Yeah. But they don't believe him about Malice, which I find that odd that they don't believe him, because just the previous episode, you know, they were all about, oh, you think that they can stop Malice? They believe him about Malice.
Right.
They've already established this, but in this episode, they don't believe him about Malice. I didn't care for that. It's almost like they aired some episodes out of order, but not
that
really.
Woman there, you know, she's like, when do we tell them about it? They can't handle what's coming and blah, 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 and you wouldn't be able to handle what's coming. And, okay.
Yeah.
Now suddenly they're like, yeah, you have no proof. What do you mean I have no proof? It's crazy.
Anyway, so we learn that they're basically trying to raise Damian Dark.
Yep.
Now, okay, so this version of Damian Dark has all the memories. It's almost like this is the dead version from like 2017 that was killed.
Right.
Like
somehow he went back in time, which they did say that because he had the watch. You know, he had the Palmer Tech watch.
Yes, and essentially, Mollus's new little henchwoman there, Eleanor, she apparently, they can open up time portals and do whatever they want. And why they went back to Victorian London to resurrect him, I don't know. Maybe it had to do with the, that eclipse or some shit? I don't know. Or maybe they thought it'd be easier to do it then because people, you know, would believe in vampires if they don't now. I don't know why they decided to do it then. But I will say this, and the scene where they come back from commercial break or whatever it is, because I watch it on Hulu, I watch it on the CW app, the commercials are probably different. But for me, it came back from commercial break, and Damian Dark has risen, and they're actually playing the song Return of the Mac, and he's fighting everybody.
Yeah, and didn't you have that song stuck in your head for a while?
I still do.
Yep.
I had to listen to it at work the other night. I said, Ashley, I'm sorry, I have to play this song. And I'll ask her about that, because I think she walked in on me singing very loudly after she came back getting her dinner. But regardless, I enjoyed that scene. It tickled me. I laughed. I was like, I don't know why I'm enjoying this, but I am. I thought it was awesome. Return of the Mac while he's fighting everybody.
And fighting them, like, viciously, but also with style. It wasn't like an arrow fight scene. He's just, like, you know, right along to the music, just, like, using his fingers and flinging people aside and snapping necks.
Yeah. Everything he did was in time of the song. I don't know. I thought it was phenomenal. Why? It just hit me just right. It made me laugh hysterically. And, So, regardless. Rip allowing Damian Dark to be resurrected. Rip is a piece of shit. I'll just say that.
He is.
Yeah, he is. Like, even when he talks to anybody, he can't look anyone in the face when he's talking to them because it's like he's ashamed.
Right.
And I don't know if that's a conscious thing that they're doing on the show or it's just happenstance, but I don't know. Like, Rip has you ever watch those Funnier Dies, Zach Morris is trash, and they break down why Zach Morris is shit? They could do the same thing on Legends of Tomorrow, you know, Rip Hunter is trash, because he is, from episode one, he has been nothing but self-serving and selfish anytime he does anything or any decision that he makes.
Yep.
And it's no different now that he has the Time Bureau. So I don't know. Absolutely. I don't know why they've made him such an unredeemable character, but they have.
I couldn't understand it either. I will say that amidst all the stuff of, like, you know, amulets and future girl whining and stuff like that, my favorite part of this episode, as I quite often seem to say with this show, was Rory. And I love the fact that he was so insistent on getting through Bram Stoker's Dracula. Like, it kept coming up. Like, they said something about, that's from Bram Stoker's Dracula. He's like, I'm not through it yet. Don't ruin it for me. Like, they're getting ready to crash, and he's like, three more pages, one more page. And he was so excited about killing a vampire. He has the stake out, and they're like, do you carry that with me? Every day of my life.
Yeah. What does that smell? I'm wearing garlic. Why aren't you prepared? Yeah, I am. Yeah, no, I'm enjoying Rory because he's just accepted that he's going to be on this team and do this, but he's going to be himself.
Yep.
Yeah. Rory is definitely a great takeaway every episode. Absolutely.
Yeah, it was great. I loved it.
Was it last episode, last week, where they're doing the fight scene, and he just wants to shoot his gun, but every time, like, one of the members gets in the way, or they get there first to stop the bad guy, and he keeps getting frustrated.
Yep.
Yeah.
They're shot blocking him.
Yes, shot blocking, yes. But no, the song Return of the Mac has been stuck in my head since I watched this episode, yes.
Yeah. And even just, like, when you said it in the beginning, you're like, okay, Legends of Tomorrow, Return of the Mac. I'm like, return? Yeah, okay.
Oh, my God. Yeah. good stuff. American Horror Story Cult is on Tuesday nights as well.
Yep.
It's got episode 10. I think it's only 13 episodes this season as well, maybe 12. I don't know 100%. I meant to look it up and I forgot. I'm just going to say, if you're not watching it, you really are missing out on the best episode, best season so far. Like, the more they go along, Kai, his character is becoming more and more just Jim, like a combination almost of like Charles Manson and Jim Jones and everything else. And yes, they're talking about a lot of cult things in the past and tying it into the episodes and everything, but I feel like they're doing a great job with it.
See, this is why, and I'm not calling your judgment into question, it just seems so odd to me. The two themes that seem to be permeating this season are cults and politics. And those are two things that you have vehemently talked about in the past, how much you hate them and you don't like watching them or hearing about them right now. So it's just so odd that now you're actually like, this is the best season ever, and it's focusing on those two things.
I know, it's really weird. I think it's just the way they're handling them. Because they're handling the political side of things in almost a farcical way.
Yeah.
Because he is a city council member, but it's almost like he's handling it like he's a president.
Gotcha.
Or congressman or something. You know what I mean? Like he is delusional as to his station in life and politics. And so it's almost like laughable. Like, whatever.
Okay.
And then the cult side of thing, again, it's not – it's almost like it's so over the top, and again, it's almost like I just want to see what he does. Kind of nice. Like The Following, like The Cult and The Following. I loved that show. I thought it was fantastic because, again, and maybe it was the ultra violence. I don't know. Seeing it so much on TV and whatever, I'm just completely just. I can't think of the word. It doesn't bother me anymore, I guess. Whatever that word is.
Gotcha.
Overexposed, I don't know. But, like, I loved The Following. I thought it was great. But then that show that's on Hulu that you like.
The Path.
Path. I can't stand that version of a cult.
Because it's like ultraviolence?
Well, no. It's just – it's too – it's a political cult, basically.
Gotcha.
Which I understand what you just called, what you just, you know, you brought this up.
Yeah, I was like, wait for it.
It's the worst kinds of them. It's, I don't know. It's not because there's no ultra. I don't like it. Whatever it is, the way they're doing it on this show, I'm digging it.
Okay.
I'm digging where they're going. I like the story they're telling. Maybe I know it's because it's a limited episode thing and everyone just seems crazy as opposed to, like, on the path, that cult, they feel righteous and what they're doing is correct and they want to help people and this and that, but then they have these stupid – I don't care. I won't talk about it.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not questioning your judgment. I just thought that it was really odd that, you know, two things that you adamantly hate come together in this and you're like, I love it. So it just seemed weird.
It's working.
Excellent.
It's just working.
I still plan on checking it out at some point, but as we talked about earlier, there's so much to catch up on.
I suggest people do, yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about that. It's like, do I watch too much TV? Do I have too many shows? I don't know.
What else are you going to do? Go to the gym?
No. No.
Go hike a mountain?
Well, maybe. Someday. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Katahdin by 40, maybe? I don't know. Anyways, going to Wednesday night.
Okay.
The Blacklist.
Yes, the Kilgannon Corporation.
Yes, episode 7. We got a big Demby episode, and I like Demby.
I love Demby.
You know? So Reddington – okay, basically this is the long and the short of it. You have human smugglers, and Reddington used to do this, But he treated it – but this was – to him, that was not a money-making opportunity. That was if someone's going to do this no matter what, it might as well be me because I'm going to do it the right way to make sure people stay safe.
Exactly.
And now that his empire has fallen, the people that took it over, they're doing it the money grab way. They don't care. And it seems like the Irish gang that took it over, dad's like, hey, we got to do this the right way. And kid's like, hey, we got to do this the way we make the most money. And if people die, fuck them.
Yep.
And I liked at the beginning of the episode when Harold's like, sounds like that you want me to help you get back this part of your empire, whatever it is. Well, we're going to shut this down, but we're not handing the reins back to you.
Right.
And
trying to be all like, noble.
Yeah, and Reddington's like, that's fine. This just needs to stop. And then by the end of it, Harold calls Reddington, and he's like, hey, you need to go rescue these people. Because even Harold realizes someone's going to do this.
Yeah.
And if it's, it might as well be Reddington if he's going to do it the right way.
Yeah. It's the same reason that I think they should legalize and regulate prostitution. You know, it's somebody's going to do it, so you may as well put it in safer hands.
Yep.
Yeah. But yeah, so Reddington is a necessary, I'm going to say air quotes evil, because it's not that he's really an evil person.
Yes.
He tries to get a lot of evil people out of the world. Now he does some things that could be viewed as evil, but.
Yes, he does. Like he killed the kid there, the Irish kid.
Yep, and Mrs. Kaplan, Mr. Kaplan, tried to kill
Mr. Kaplan. Yeah, but, Mama, he's killed a lot of people.
Yeah.
And he's killed a lot of people.
Yep.
So, and he's a criminal. I liked it when, was it the previous episode where Harold is helping that kid? Like, last week's episode was it, or the week before, whatever, however you want to look at it.
Trying to remember.
Where Harold is helping that kid, and so Harold's kind of going rogue for this episode.
Oh yeah.
And Reddington and Demby help him, and Reddington is Harold's meter of like, you know, basically Harold's like, I'm gonna go kill this guy, and Reddington's like, all right, you have fun. I'm not gonna help you do that though because that's not who you are.
Right.
But Demby will be there to back you up to make sure you stay safe. And Harold just ends up arresting the guy at the end. He doesn't kill him. He arrests him instead because he takes the high road. So I don't know. I enjoyed that episode.
Absolutely. I told you
I didn't want your help. I know, but we couldn't resist. So, yeah. I don't know. It's a good season.
It is. I'm glad that they got back on track after the whole Blacklist Redemption thing. We're still trying to figure out what's in the case. You know, what's in the box?
Well, we know it's bones. We just don't know who they are.
Right. And why Reddington wants it so bad and why it would topple his empire, blah, blah, blah.
And the guy that then, because their friend Nick was murdered.
Yep.
We had to deal with that. And the guy, okay, so they introduced a woman, a nurse, who is helping Tom. And they killed her.
Yes.
I didn't like that.
No, me either.
I didn't like the fact that they killed her because she was truly an innocent.
Yes. Yep. There was
like,
nothing wrong
literally
with her.
She was in love with this guy, and the only reason why she's helping Tom is because she's afraid something bad happened to him.
Yep. Yeah, she wasn't going to help at first.
Right. But then she realized, okay, something's really bad's happened. Maybe this guy can help. Then she gets that warning from Reddington's man. That's why that guy didn't kill her.
Yeah.
He was Reddington's guy who gave her a warning of, hey, you need to stay away. You need to back off. And then she doesn't, and she gets killed for it by that other guy, other bad guy, who had captured Tom.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, I didn't like the fact they killed her. I thought she would just be wounded and then eventually she'd get up later. But, no, they just showed her dead body on the ground still later on.
Yep.
So, I don't know. That bothered me, actually.
Me too.
Excuse me, but otherwise. So do you want to talk about You're the Worst? Do you want to try and wait a little bit?
Well, we'll try and wait a little bit. For just a second, though, I want to go back in time to Legends of Tomorrow. Seems appropriate. It's a time-traveling show.
Yeah, did we forget something?
Yes, because in this episode, the medium actually channeled Mollus.
And we
got to meet Mollus for the first time. What really got me and what I really wanted to bring up is the fact that I went, wait a minute, and I went right on IMDb and double-checked. Mollus is voiced by John Noble.
John Noble.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
French Fit. Yeah. Okay.
I was so excited. I'm like, I know that voice. He's got such a distinctive voice. I was like, I know that. And I went on there and I'm like, yep. I mean, he's in there for like 5 seconds, but that's John Noble. So I'm wondering if we're going to get the actual actor or if he's just going to voice Mollus as he takes over different people's bodies.
Cool. Yeah, I bet you we will get the actual actor.
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah, he does have a very distinct voice.
Yep. Makes me want to go back and watch Fringe again.
I did enjoy Fringe.
Oh, so much.
So,
so yeah, I will hang on to You're the Worst because I'm actually a couple episodes behind myself. So I'm waiting for the finale and then I can just binge right through it.
Nice.
I will say quickly about Gotham because I know you haven't caught up. As of this most recent episode, Jim is now the chief of police, and he kind of took Harvey's position, and Harvey is pissed, and so now there's a rift between the two of them. And they had this
Wait a second. Jim's the chief of police.
Yeah, because Harvey was.
I thought Harvey was just a captain.
No? Yeah, well, he was the captain of the district.
Yeah.
And now Jim has taken over the position. I thought that the guy said chief, but maybe he's just the captain of the district. Because we know that, you know, later on in life he's the commissioner. But so maybe it's just the captain of there. All I know is that he basically, Harvey had to get out of his office and there's now this big rift between the two of them. So that wasn't good. But also, they had that fight club that was going on. I don't know if you had caught up on that, but basically Riddler had been making money at this underground fight club that Lee was patching people up at. And there was this woman there who was in charge. Solomon Grundy is beating the crap out of everybody, but now he's starting to have a few flashes remembering when he was Butch, but it's confusing Grundy. And the woman that was in charge of the fight club sold Riddler out to Penguin, said, oh, he's here. So Penguin sent some goons over and, including the Barbara and Catwoman and what's her, Tabitha. And they all kind of like had this showdown with Firefly and blah, blah, blah. So basically the end of it was that Lee killed the woman who was in charge of the fight club and now has been declared the queen. So you've got Jim as the leader of the police force, and Lee is now the queen of this underground fight club criminal organization type thing. And it was terrible.
Are the police going to start listening to Jim now instead of fighting against him and beating him up in the locker room?
Who knows? I mean, he's in the position, but they may not like it. I don't know. Maybe he's going to go through and, you know, hire a whole new batch because that apparently is something that they can do. You know, I'm going to say this, okay? I've been working where I'm working now, the dispatch center for the state police, for 5 months. And in the 5 months that I've been there, I've seen 3 new recruits that were already in the training program and they've come out on the streets and they're now full-fledged troopers. And that was a lot, if I'm not mistaken. Like, in 5 months, 3 new guys, that's an awful lot.
Yeah. It takes time.
I don't see how Gotham has new people every week.
Well, it probably has to do with the fact that on Gotham, about 5 to 10 police officers get killed every episode, and a trooper hasn't died in years.
Yeah.
So
they can't have a good training program on Gotham, though. I mean, they're putting them out too fast.
Yeah. Oh no, no, no one has a chance to really be fully trained before they get out there. No,
it's ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They kill a lot of police officers on Gotham. Holy crap!
They sure do.
I think they even addressed it like this season at one point. They made a comment about it, but maybe not. I don't know. I still haven't decided if I'm going to watch the show or not. Your little description of what's going on wasn't a tremendous driving force to make me turn it back on. But
yeah, I don't think I'm going to keep watching it either. Like, I'm just waiting for an excuse, like have them go on hiatus and be like, nah, I don't care anymore.
So that's possible. On. Yeah. The Good Place and You're the Worst don't come back. The Good Place is not back until January.
I'm so bummed. Like, I always look forward to those two.
Yeah, and Superstore says it's coming back in December.
Okay.
So I don't know why they're so lopsided. Maybe even number of episodes. Maybe Superstore got more. I don't know.
Maybe.
But the last episode we got of The Good Place was Derek.
Yes.
And we both enjoyed that thoroughly.
Absolutely.
Arrow. So what did you think of this week's episode? The episode there all I can think of is Manu Bennett's as an actor.
Deathstroke.
Deathstroke. Oh, okay. So what did you think of the Deathstroke episode?
My first note was, another flashback. Yay. Because once again, we're doing flashbacks. But, you know, it's not the same because this time it's flashbacks of, you know, him with his kid. And I thought that it was ridiculously predictable. You know, oh, there's this big organization and they took his son and he's got to go get his son back. And he fights his way all the way through it and finally finds that guy. And he's like, oh, I want my son back. And they're like, you can't have him back because he's our leader. Dun, dun, dun. Fucking
yeah,
kidding me.
There was a lot of fighting and killing in the last like 5 minutes of the episode.
Yep.
And I actually expected that to be happening through the entirety of the episode.
See, I think what you want, what I wouldn't mind, is a Deathstroke show that's more akin to The Punisher.
Yep, probably. Yeah. There was a lot of talking in this episode.
Yeah.
Lots of talking.
Yeah.
Them talking to each other, them talking to other people, them talking to the police. Like, we didn't even see the Arrow team this episode for the most part. We saw Black Canary, but that was about it.
Yeah.
A lot of talking. And the fact that we're now 3 episodes in of John being the Green Arrow is 2 episodes longer than I thought he was going to be the Green Arrow.
Yeah. Well, they've even got the intro now, and he's like, that's why I picked the best man I know, John Diggle. He is the Green Arrow. No, he's not.
And then the next episode is still another I saw the preview for it. It's a Deathstroke episode still, so
I want to see Deathstroke being Deathstroke. I don't like all this talky. Where's my son? And where's my son?
Oh, we learned about you taught me about being a dad, or that I'm still a dad, or something fatherly. We're doing fatherly things because, you know, you just found out you're a dad, so you've been a practicing dad for like 5 months now.
Yeah.
And I haven't seen my son in years, but I used to be a dad to him when he was a kid. I don't know. It was
Weekend Warriors.
Weak sauce episode.
Yep.
Weak sauce. Supernatural, I'll just say this. I'm enjoying this season.
Okay.
And I don't know if you're watching it. I know you watched the first episode.
I haven't watched any since then.
Okay. I'm actually enjoying it this season. Yes, Dean is being ultra douchey for the most part in a few episodes here, but I think he's quote unquote coming around.
Okay.
But I don't know. I'm enjoying it.
Good.
So, let's talk about, I think, possibly my favorite show on TV right now.
Okay.
The Orville.
Now, we've got 2 episodes to talk about here.
Oh, we do?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, go episodes 8 and 9, I guess, is what we're going to be talking about.
The first one was the doctor and her sons going to the amusement park planet thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Go ahead.
And this was a bit of a departure for the show because it didn't feature the Orville itself for the most part. It was Isaac went with the mother and the 2 boys in a shuttle, and they ended up getting knocked off course and landed on a moon of a planet, crashed, like she was in the back half of the ship and ended up in one spot, and they were all in the front half. And I really liked Isaac's attempt to understand the bond between children and mother, you know, the human complex dynamics. You know, she kept telling him the things, you know, don't make me come back there. He's like, they don't seem to listen to you at all. Your threats seem to be very empty and meaningless because they're still hitting each other. And she's like, yeah, well, that's how it goes. It was really funny because it wasn't meant to be overly humorous, but it also wasn't meant to be like a rip on her constantly. He was basically just saying, hey, it doesn't seem to be working. Hey, are you aware that your children are still assholes, basically? So I liked the way that they did that. He actually grew a little bit by bonding with the boys, but not in a stupid, sappy way. You know,
it was in a logical, sensible way.
Yeah, yeah. When
the little brother was holding his hand, and he's like, "Don't hold my hand. I may need that."
Yeah.
And the other kid's like, "Just hold his hand." And he learns that that's a comforting thing. And so later on, he holds the doctor's hand when she's worried about them.
Yep.
So that was kind of neat to watch that.
Yeah, or reading them the story in the mother's voice, because he could synthesize voices, and he realized that it would be calming and refreshing to them, you know?
Except the story he tells is basically the story of what's happening.
Yeah.
With a not-so-positive ending.
Yeah. Because he's still Isaac.
Yeah.
And then she was taken captive by another one of those actors. You know, he's been in a bunch of things, but you never know his name or anything. And the whole planet was basically poisoned. The water supply was poisoned, and everybody's gone kind of crazy from the disease that they have. And of course, one of the boys gets it, and they have to get back to the
orbit. They're cannibals.
Yes.
I feel like – I got to look it up now, but I feel like that actor was the black oil alien from X-Files.
I think that he was. He's been in a few different things like that. Yeah, double check.
Exactly. I actually meant to look that up. Anyways, keep going.
That was basically the long and short of it. You know, the Orville mounts a rescue. They manage to get a bit of a distress signal up, and then they have to fight off the aliens. It was interesting, again, a bonding type of thing. You know, Isaac gave a gun to a kid, and he was like, "Hey, you're going to need to protect yourself. And I'll move faster if you're not with me." So he leaves them there with a gun, tells them how to use it, and takes off because he's just being logical. What did he say? It's like, your chances of survival with this will be increased by like 23%. Whereas later on, his mother's like, "No, you can't have a gun." And he's like, "Mom, I know what I'm doing." And he's like, "Yeah, he knows what he's doing. Let him help."
Okay. Yes, you're right. I'm sorry. He played not the black oil alien. He was the alien bounty hunter in the X-Files series. The actor's name is Brian Thompson. And yes, he was on the Orville. He was also the main bad guy in the old Sylvester Stallone flick Cobra.
Yep.
And apparently he was in Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Okay. As which character? Goro?
I don't. He was on Star Trek Enterprise as Admiral Valdor.
Okay.
So
was he ever on Charmed?
He was. He played Cronus.
He played Cronus, and I believe before that he played one of the the horsemen. Yep.
Yep. War. He was War of the Horsemen as well. Yes.
Yep.
And he was on Birds of Prey. So yeah, he's been on a lot of stuff that we would watch or had watched or whatever. Yeah.
Never a starring role, but always like either a villain or a side.
Oh, he was the judge and Luke on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Nice.
He was Shokan in Mortal Kombat Annihilation.
Ah, okay. Well, that's kind of weird.
He was on Star Trek Deep Space Nine, Weird Science. Oh, he was in Kindred the Embrace. So, I mean, he's been in a lot of stuff that we would have watched.
Yep.
Or had watched over the years. Man, as I'm scrolling down through this, he was in Star Trek The Next Generation. Boy, he's really made the Star Trek rounds. he was on the TV show Alien Nation as well.
Of course. Anything to do with aliens, apparently.
Pretty much, yeah. He was in Hardcastle and McCormick. This guy's been around a long time. So, anyhow, sorry, sidetracked.
Nope, that's good.
It was worth it. It was a good sidetrack. So, but anyhow,
that was the first episode.
Yes.
Then we have the second episode,
which was a little predictable in one aspect to me. Two alien species, the Navarians and the Brutians or Broadens or whatever, they've been in a battle for centuries over who owns this planet. And this is where I always find it's hilarious. Not hilarious, but I always find it peculiar on these shows where any space show or whatever, where they're talking about a planet and it's like – it's a whole planet. Planet
right.
Earth is huge.
Right.
But yet these other planets are basically very small, I guess, because – the only thing they focus on when they go to the planet is this one, 3-acre section. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
It's a whole planet, but yeah, these two races can't live on this entire planet together.
You get the same thing in video games. The Mass Effect series was famous for that. You know, you'd land on a planet,
yeah,
and you'd drive around, and you're like, this is like a 3-mile stretch. This is not a whole planet.
Yeah.
This is just a small chunk. And what's going on the rest of the planet? So, yeah, I get that. It's...
But they do that in a lot of things. Like, yes. When they, oh, let's touch down on this planet over here, and or someone crash landed on this planet, so we're going to go land on this planet and try and find them. And once they get down there, then they can find his beacon. Oh, he's 5 miles this way. How they manage that?
Right.
How they manage to land on the same side of the planet as him? Like,
yeah.
So, yeah. But anyhow, so they bring the two species, they found some old artifact that's 30,000 years old, and they need someone. They want a union
forensic archaeologist.
Yeah, they want a union archaeologist to look at it to try to determine if there's any DNA on it and to see whose it belongs to. And as soon as they said that, oh, the artifact is a birthing pod, I'm like, all right, so they're the same people.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, and that's what happened in the end. Their DNA is. They descended from the same race, so they both have equal rights to the planet, and they need to learn to live with each other because they're all technically related.
Yeah, and you know that once they leave, that's not going to fly. But at least it was a nice gesture. You know, it's nice to think, oh, well, now they have to get along. No,
yeah.
Someone's going to say, you know, well, your ancestors raped my ancestors or something like that.
Right, exactly. But essentially the whole catalyst of this episode was to bring Derulio, the blue guy.
Which I'm so glad they did because I didn't realize in the first episode, he was in there for like 2 seconds. I didn't realize it was actually Rob Lowe under all that makeup.
Was it him in the first episode, I wonder?
It was. I looked it up.
Oh, okay.
he's just so charming. Rob Lowe can't help but be Rob Lowe.
Yeah, pretty much. And essentially both Ed and Kelly – this is the guy that Kelly had the affair with that ended their relationship, and so now he's on the ship. And Kelly seems to fall right back into him, and she ends up – you know, she gets – Ed walks in on her sleeping with him again.
Because they're soulmates.
Yeah, and what it is like once a year he goes into heat, his species does, and they put out a pheromone that just makes people – basically it's a super roofie.
Yep, but only generated through touch.
Yes.
It's not just like he walks around with a cloud of it, which is weird because pheromones generally are like airborne.
Exactly. But after he shakes hands with both Kelly and Ed, they both basically become super turned on to him and want to be besties and be in a relationship and on and on and on.
And all that was a little weird. It was a little like some of it was funny, some of it was just not funny.
Yeah, and then the doctor got affected as well because when he walked through Norm MacDonald's alien blob, apparently his pheromones got on him, which affected Dr. Finn in a very negative way.
Yeah. Yeah, and she became quite jealous.
Yeah, that was weird when they walked in on her. I guess they were having sex?
That was kind of weird. She was like cocooned in him.
Yeah, yeah. That was interesting. But anyways, I still really enjoy the show.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I'm glad they've gotten a second season.
Yeah, me too. I enjoy the show. I enjoy – I don't know. It's just a good show.
Yep.
There's just something really enjoyable about it and how they handle everything. And you have like the slight sense of humor in there. So it is ridiculous or whatever, but it's still good. And I don't know. I really, really enjoy the show. It's a great space show.
Agreed.
Yeah. There's just something about it.
Absolutely. I love it.
So this kind of brings us to Inhumans. Nothing? Yeah. Good. No, all right. No. And I somehow – I don't know why I have this put in here as being on Saturday night because Mr. Robot's on Wednesdays, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, so my apologies. We got to talk about Mr. Robot.
Yep. Oh, one thing about Inhumans, it's over.
Yay.
It's finally over. And basically the whole thing was a setup to bring them to Earth. They're off the moon. They moved all 1,400 people to Earth to live out their days now. So essentially I'm thinking that S.H.I.E.L.D. will pick up some of that because now they're on Earth. The end. So Mr. Robot...
Mr. Robot, so this episode here, episode number 5.
Intense as fuck?
Yeah, it is. Basically, the whole thing takes place in Evil Corp's headquarters.
Yep.
where a riot out front is now. Elliot shows up for work, and he finds out that A, he's been fired. He's been locked out of the computers. He realizes that he's had no memory of the last several days because he was drugged, but he's noticed that stage two is going to happen anyways.
Yes.
So he spends the first half of the episode trying to evade security to try and shut down.
Yep.
Stage two, but eventually he gets caught and escorted out of the building. She tries to call in a bomb threat. His sister shows up and says, "I've been working with the FBI." And then all of a sudden, the protesters out front, they erupts into a riot. They break into the building and they start ripping the building apart.
Yep.
And essentially, this is a distraction so they can send Elliot to get into the secure room so he can do some work. But they don't realize, I guess, Angela had Elliot locked out of the building and banned and everything. And so she does it.
Yep, because they thought that this was still the version of Elliot that is Mr. Robot.
Correct. But it's not. He's back to being himself.
So Angela has to do it instead of him. And
of course, you know, the rioters, some of them are there, guys. Most of them are not. So there's lots of the violence going on. Like,
yeah.
This went on for so long, them ravaging the building. I'm surprised the police didn't – like, the police seemed to be there already.
Yep, in riot gear.
But they didn't seem to enter the building at all.
Yep.
I like the scene where the rioters get on the elevator with the random employee. And then we have to wait as the elevator goes up to the 40th floor. Oh, and they're all just kind of standing there getting ready. I thought that was great.
I want to continue this, but speaking of elevators, we have to make mention of the Orville and the elevator scenes.
Oh, my God, yes.
Holy God, that one alien that, like, he keeps being in the elevator when Ed and Kelly are going up or down. And at one point, he's like, you know, we should get music in here. And then, like, two or three scenes later of him being in the elevator, there's music playing. He goes, see, I got the music playing. Oh, my God, is your entire job just riding up and down in the elevator? It was so great.
And then Ed's just like, you're good, buddy, and walks out. Yes. Yeah. And again, that voice was someone like, I think I know who this is.
Yep. Yeah. It was it was great. Sorry.
That was awesome.
Reminded me of that.
Yeah, I actually meant to bring up that running gag as well. So, anywho.
Mr. Robot, one thing that I don't think you got because you were on the app, but this episode was presented on TV. It was advertised this way and then was presented zero commercials. So it was one long running episode.
The app had zero commercials actually, and I noticed that. I picked up on that. I was like, huh, there's no commercials on this one.
Yep.
Because I watched it on the USA Network app and there's usually three or four commercial breaks, but they're not very long. It's not like watching it on TV.
Yep.
But yeah, I was just like, oh shit, there's no commercials at all. So
and
that's
kind of like
cool.
The parts with Elliot in the beginning was following him. It didn't, like, the show usually cuts away and you see different people doing different things. Like, this was all on him. The camera followed him. It was very intense. It was very, like, dramatic. Like, you were worried that he ducks into that conference room and tries to bullshit his way through it. And he's talking to us inside of his head. And it was just so tense. And then he finally gets out of the building and he's out there. And like you said, you know, they start the riot as a distraction. Then we switch over to Angela and it's all her. We never see Elliot again until the very last scene. So it's all her going through the building, trying to do the thing, getting attacked by people. Dude, that security guard that takes her. You know, and you're like, what's going to happen? And then she's like, over here, those people beat the crap out of him. Like, I think they killed him. Like, they were kicking him and dropping stuff on him and slamming him with computer towers. Yeah. So it was really tense. It almost felt to me a couple of times like something you'd see, like the Belko experiment, you know?
This was like, all right, so for me, this almost felt like they were trying to do one long continuous take.
Yes.
Where they started filming, the camera starts, and they, like you said, they followed Elliot the whole time. They get him outside, and then they follow the protesters inside. They follow the protesters upstairs until the camera gets to Angela. Then they go to Angela. Now they follow Angela the whole time, all the way for everything she's doing until at the very end when she's going back to her office, I guess, and Elliot's standing there.
Yep. And he's like, but, is there something you want to tell me? And then that's it. I was like, nods, what just happened?
But the whole episode, it looks like one take. They don't have a single thing where, like, they get on the elevator and then it cuts to the elevator opening and there's Angela walking out of it. No, the camera's in the elevator with her. It comes out of the elevator with her. It follows them everywhere.
To the point where they even have those really cool shots that I made a note of, which are wall cutaways. Like,
yes.
The camera's going over the wall. So she's, like, walking through a door and you could see that it's a set. Because there's no ceiling or anything like that. It's just like a fake wall with a door, and she's walking in and clicking, walking in, clicking. And then when she gets to the server room and they actually go across the fake wall and you can look down to the streets below because they're, you know, up on the 23rd floor or whatever.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
Yeah. But it definitely, and I know it wasn't one take because that would be impossible to do.
Right,
properly.
Right.
But it just felt, it had that this is a one take feel.
Yep.
The camera never cut away. Like you said, like I never really thought about it until you said that, but that's exactly how the episode was. They didn't go to commercial break. The camera never cut away once. I mean, it's really a cool piece of art, if you will.
Yeah.
So,
it was intense. Like, I found myself on the edge of my seat a couple of times. Like, oh my God, what's going to happen?
And then when Angela's in the server room and she's not supposed to be in there because she doesn't have the clearance, but she's there. And then that girl that shows up that does have the clearance.
Yep.
And then she recognizes it, and then she takes off. And then when Angela talks to Irving on the phone later, she's like, hey, I was made. This is the person that made me. And Irving's like, all right, we'll take care of her. That girl's going to be dead.
Yes. But we'll probably never see her dead. You know, it'll never be on screen. It'll be
on the news. Dead body was found or whatever. And then Angela will feel guilty about that.
Yep.
It's going to be, that'll be a measure of guilt for Angela. Because you can tell, like, at the end, like, she's been all for this plan, we're going to do this, blah, 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 but then now that it actually has to be done and then she actually did it, now you're going to see the guilt roll in.
Yep.
Because they're not going to have cleared out that plant when it explodes. People are going to die. That woman's going to be found dead. That's going to be another source of guilt for her, I feel like. This is just me freestyling.
Nope, I hear you.
Yeah. Nope, I thought it was great.
I liked it. I thought it was one of the better episodes. I mean, this show anyway, but I really thought that this was one of the better episodes that I've seen in quite a while.
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree. I absolutely agree. Everything that they did was cool, the way it was done and how. Again, that one long take it looks like. I mean, yeah, it was a very arty looking thing. It was cool.
Yep. I agree.
And in the background that you're seeing on the TV this whole episode as well is the UN vote.
Oh, yeah.
Where they're going to – China's going to be annexing the Congo or something. Like, they didn't go into a lot of detail, but they put it up on the screen long enough that they wanted you to see they were talking about it and it was going on.
Yep.
Because it somehow is going to be, you know, B.D. Wong's got something to do with that.
Right. Yep.
And that'll be probably talked about in the next episode or something. But so – I don't know.
Yeah.
It was good.
It was
good.
Loved it.
Yeah. You know, I know I watched a couple trailers. I just can't recall what they were.
Okay.
In great detail. I forgot to take notes or write them down. I just remember like them popping up on my Facebook. One of them in particular was Game Night.
Yes. I saw that last night. That looks great.
That does look pretty awesome.
It basically starts off like The Game, you know, the old Michael Douglas movie where the guy's like, for the rest of the night, you're not going to know what's real, what's fake. People might kidnap you. They might hold you hostage. You know, everything is going to seem very real. Some of it might be, some of it might not be. And then everyone's like, oh, okay, this will be great. And then he gets kidnapped right in front of them. Like two guys bust in, break down the door, tie him up, put duct tape over his mouth. And he's like, this isn't part of, and they're all like, oh, this is cool. And then just seeing them go through it. So it's kind of a comedy. Beyond that point.
Oh, yes. It's not slapstick comedy, but it's definitely comedy.
I mean, Jason Bateman is the main guy, so not the guy that got kidnapped, but the main hero that we follow, and he's apparently married to Rachel McAdams. And it looks great. I can't wait to see it. I think that comes out in March.
Yeah, after game night, I don't really have anything else.
Really? Because, well, I guess maybe you just woke up this morning, but Deadpool 2 has released its first trailer.
Okay, so I was just I did get a notification on my phone about that. Yep. I just haven't watched it yet.
So it's basically Deadpool dressed up like Bob Ross, and he's introducing the painting that he's doing, mixing different colors like Men in Black, Betty White, Oscar Gold, and doing it in Bob Ross style. And that goes on for maybe a minute, and then all of a sudden it just cuts away to actual footage from Deadpool 2. And it nice. Looks phenomenal. And I'm so stupidly excited for this. It's definitely worth a watch because it's Deadpool and it's awesome.
Yeah, I did get a notification about that, so. Yeah.
Well, when we're done here, you gotta check it out.
Yes. I will.
I watched one movie this week, and I'll be very honest, I only kind of watched it in the background, but I think that that's all that really was needed, and that was the Lego Batman movie.
Now, see, I heard people raving about that movie, like it's the Batman movie we've wanted, and on and on and on, and you're saying it was just a background piece for you,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, it really was. Did you ever watch the Lego movie?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, so you know how Batman was in that, Will Arnett played him, and he was kind of a cocky, arrogant prick?
Oh, yeah, massively, yes. Yeah.
Well, that's the Batman that you get here, is the cocky, arrogant prick. And all the villains are on display, and I believe it's Zach Galifianakis plays the voice of the Joker, which is kind of weird. But it's that version of Batman, you know? He dances and sings a lot and drops beats and does rap, and it's not bad, but it definitely, I don't know why everybody was raving about how amazing it was. And that version of Batman, I'm not necessarily like a big fan of. He's just a dick.
Okay. Well, I guess I haven't watched it yet. I didn't really have an urgent need to.
Yeah. Well, if you check it out, let me know. You know, maybe at some point I'll go back and watch it like full force, not in the background, and maybe yeah. I'll like it better. But it wasn't bad. It wasn't anything that I was like, oh my God, this has to draw my attention in. It never reached that point.
Cool.
Yeah. And there was one thing that I wanted to mention to you.
Yeah.
This is very upsetting to me. Really upsetting. There's a new show coming on in January. I've seen a couple of commercials for it so far.
Oh, 911?
911.
Yeah, I saw one kind of trailer. It was actually at work, and the volume was off. But I just caught my eye, and I'm like, they're calling that show 911.
Yeah, and it's supposedly going to cover, you know, the heroic lives of dispatching for police, fire, and rescue. So it's basically a police, fire, and rescue show, but you're going to see it from behind the scenes. And it's gonna do to us similarly to what Northwood's Law did to the wardens. You know, people are going to think, oh, they have all this cool high-tech stuff, and they're doing this and this. And it's not true, people.
But Northwood's Law was a reality show. This looks to be completely fictional.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to go on record right now. I haven't seen anything other than the trailer. I'm going to tell you, anything you see in that is fake. It is not true. It is not happening. We are not those people. So
it's kind of like everyone asking, hey, did you watch The Call? Have you watched The Call? Halle Berry in The Call. Have you watched this? No, I haven't.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that one of the first things she says is 911, what's your emergency? Already that's false.
Yeah, because it's what's the address of your emergency.
Yeah, or where is the emergency in some agencies. But basically, you need to find out where they are. So, yeah. I'm not happy about this show because I think it's going to really give people the wrong impression.
Yeah, it is.
So, yeah, that's all I got.
Okay, cool. Well, I guess that's it. So tune in next week. Same bat time. That's the wrong show.
Yes.
You can follow me on the Twitter and talk to me there. I'm at SuperstarML.
I'm at the Quantum Geek G33K.
The show is at What Did You Watch, and the Facebook is What Did You Watch This Week. Give us a like over there if you will. And yeah, thanks.
Thanks everybody. We'll talk to you next time.